celebrate Jehovah. Amen. And you cannot be celebrating Jehovah while you are keeping quiet or looking dull. Amen. We're talking about the highest of the highest. Amen. The one who is greater than the greatest. Amen. The one who is wiser than the wisest. But I venture you have not bothered to greet the person beside you. Just greet him or her. Say you're welcome with the name that is above every name today. Ask him or her, what is your expectation like tonight? Tell him or her, your expectation will not be cut off. I don't have great expectations tonight. I believe that God himself is already here. Amen. I don't know that God is already here before we came. Amen. By the special grace of God tonight, I'm going to start a series of messages on developing a positive attitude. Developing what? A positive attitude. And we're going to read our foundation scripture. Our foundation scripture that is in Philippians. That is in Philippians, sorry, Heather. Philippians chapter 2. Glory be to God in the highest. Are you there? Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verse 5. If you are there, say amen. Okay, I guess many people are not there. Philippians 2 verse 5. If you are there, say amen. We're going to read together at a count of two. One, two, go. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I guess many of us were not there. Amen. Philippians 2. If you are there, say better. Amen. Amen. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in what? Which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, the word mind there, some other translation translates as attitude. And that is better. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The New American Standard Version says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have this what? This attitude. I say this attitude. One other translation that I love, that's the Good News translation, says the attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. So the word mind here is also the word attitude. Amen. In fact, the Amplified Version says, let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Hello? I said, hello, somebody. We're going to be speaking tonight on a very important subject matter. A subject matter that covers every area of our life. There is nothing that I and you do or we do that does not involve our attitude. And I believe that God wants us to cultivate, God wants us to develop. The will and the plan of God for you and I is to have what I call a positive attitude. What's a positive attitude? Come on, say it with conviction. Say a positive attitude. What is a positive attitude? A positive attitude is the right kind of attitude that you're supposed to have. A positive attitude is the kind of mindset or the kind of attitude that God expects every one of his children to have. Now, the big question is this. Does every child of God, do they possess the right attitude? The answer is no. So that is why it's important for us to know that a positive attitude is a must-have attitude. What did I call it? A must-have. It is an essential attitude that you need. It is an all-important attitude. You are going to be seeing as we progress in this series of messages that you and I cannot do without a positive attitude. A positive attitude is something that God expects of us. And as we serve and labor in God's house, your attitude shows in everything that you do. Amen? I said amen. So we are talking about something that touches every area of our lives. There's no way you can separate you from your attitude. Your attitude is part and parcel of you. And God wants us to have a positive. Sounds like positive. I have defined what a positive attitude is. I said a positive attitude is the right kind of attitude you are supposed to have in any situation of life. A positive attitude is also the kind of attitude that God expects you to have. Listen, God expects you to behave in every circumstance of life in the right way. Don't say right way. If you look at Philippians 4, for instance, Philippians 4 verse 8, it says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, he gave us the criteria, the basis upon which your thinking or your thought, or if you like, your attitude is supposed to be based on. God does not want you to have the wrong kind of attitude. Look at this scripture. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 14. It says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. It says, in the time of adversity, consider. That is God telling you the kind of attitude to have, whether you are prosperous or not. Amen? Do you know that there is a kind of attitude you need to have in the time of prosperity? Do you know that there is a right kind of attitude to have in the time of tribulation? Hello? I said hello, somebody. So we are talking about something that is very important. If there is a right attitude, then it means there's what? A wrong attitude. It's important. You are going to be seeing as we progress tonight and as we go on in this series that a positive attitude is a must-have. Someone say must-have. When you call something a must-have, that is to tell you that it is essential. It is crucial. It is something that you cannot do without. It's just like oxygen. Amen, somebody. If you are going to function here as a proper human being or as a normal human being, you need oxygen. Not so. I said not so. So in the same way, if you are going to fulfill your colorful destiny, if you are going to become everything that God has ordained and proposed for you to become, you need to have a positive attitude. And listen, we are going to be focusing on what an attitude is. We are also going to be focusing on, some of the things you need to know about your attitude. And if you have the time, we will also talk about the things that influences our attitude. And then the clincher will be how to develop the right attitude or a positive. I'm so excited about this message because this is one of the most important messages you can ever hear. Amen, somebody? Ask your neighbor, how is your attitude? Ask somebody, say, how is your attitude? You know, most of the time in school, in our schools, the focus is usually on IQ. Amen, somebody? Which is what? Intelligence quotient. Amen, somebody? People don't focus on attitude quotient. And listen, intelligent quotient is good. Your aptitude is good. Amen, somebody? Your level of intelligence is okay. But listen, I have seen people who have very excellent results, But you see, their attitude towards life is wrong. Hello, somebody in the house? I said, hello, somebody in the house. If you're here, can I have an amen? So it's important for us to have a positive attitude. A positive attitude will make us not just to be victorious, but will make us to be able to live the kind of life that God wants us to live. If you're here with me tonight, can I have a better amen? Amen. So, before we progress tonight, I think it's important for me to define what an attitude is. Now, before I even define an attitude, let me say something here. It will interest you to know that the Bible, the Word of God, is actually a book of Beatitudes. So say Beatitudes. There's something that is called the Beatitudes of Jesus. When he was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, if you begin to read from verse 3, he said, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for there is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the humble, and so on and so forth. People call it what? The Beatitudes. But you know something? The Bible is actually a book of attitudes. It tells us the right kind of attitude to have in every situation and every circumstance of life. So when we'll talk about developing a positive attitude, I'm talking about a positive attitude in life, a positive attitude towards life. Because if we don't get our attitude right, we are not going anywhere. Ask your neighbor once again, say, how is your attitude? Or ask him and say, what kind of attitude do you have? It is important to develop. You know, we use the word develop. It means to cultivate. And to develop means to nurture. To develop means to grow. Amen? I said amen. So, what is an attitude? I want to try to define the word attitude in the following ways. Number one, an attitude is the way you think and feel about a thing. An attitude is the way you what? You think and feel about a thing. Do you know that there's a way we think? There's a way we feel about things? Hello? I say hello? That's the way you feel about your children. That's the way you think about your business. Amen? But it's important to think. It's important to feel the right way. Amen, somebody? I said amen. Number two, what is an attitude? An attitude is also our disposition, opinion, or mental set. Our attitude is what? Our disposition, our opinion, or mental set. What is an attitude? An attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about something. A settled, every one of us, without an exception here tonight, there is a way you think about finances. There's a way you think about relationship. Amen, somebody? That's the way you feel about things. Amen. It's important to think and to feel about things in the right way. Amen, somebody? I said amen, somebody. So, what is an attitude? An attitude also is how you think, feel, and behave in any given situation. How you think, feel, and behave in any given situation. Listen, if you want to know the true test of a man's character, know how or see how he behaves when the challenges of life comes his way. That is when you will know the true measure of that man. Amen, somebody? I want to ask you a question tonight. How do you think? How do you feel? How do you behave in any given situation of life? I remember a situation that occurred several years ago. And very funny, very pathetic. It was, you know, like an argument that transpired between a brother and a fellow brother. And before you know anything, one of the brothers says, hey, please, I'm going to remove the garment of Christianity now. And I'm going to show you who I am. Now, Everybody was surprised. Amen, somebody. Because people felt that you are supposed to be a Christian. Hello, somebody in the house? But you see that in that given situation or given circumstance, the true nature of that person manifested. So I want to ask you, how do you behave? How do you act? How do you think? You know, at times you see the attitude of people. When you chastise somebody, you can know whether that person has a right attitude or a wrong attitude. I have seen people who have taken correction in the wrong way. Amen, somebody? Listen. If you have anybody who corrects you, somebody who chastises you, you should be grateful to God. Amen, somebody? There are a lot of people who did not have that privilege. You see, at times when we are being rebuked, when we are being chastised, the way you respond is actually your attitude. Amen, somebody? So your attitude is key. It's the way you think, it's the way you feel, it's the way you behave. One meaning of attitude again is this. Our attitude is a posture or position that you take on any matter. Your attitude is what? A posture or position that you take on any matter. You see, people do take certain posture. People do take certain position concerning things, and it's an indication of where they stand with regards to the attitude. So your attitude is your posture. I was trying to look at the synonyms of the word attitude. In other words, other words that are closely related to attitudes, they are the following. Number one, synonyms of attitude is also point of view. Your attitude is your point of view. Your attitude is your outlook or your perspective. Your attitude is also the way you look at things. Amen? How do you look at things? Your attitude is also your frame of mind. Hello? I said, hello? One other word that is closely related to the word attitude is orientation. So I say orientation. I can't hear you say orientation. If you remember, that's why we said, you know, we are going through what? A workers' what? Orientation program. Why? It's more of an attitude change. In other words, we are talking about the kind of mindset, the kind of attitude every worker in DDCC is supposed to possess. If you are still with me tonight, say amen, somebody. So, I'm taking all this pain to explain this so that you will know what an attitude is. Your attitude is your viewpoint. Your attitude is your frame of mind. Your attitude is your perspective, your position. The way you look at things, the way you approach things. If you understand what I've said tonight, say a big amen, somebody. So everybody, I believe now, understands what an attitude is. And you see, in the scripture we read, Philippians 2 verse 5, we have been encouraged to have what? The same kind of attitude that Jesus what? Had. Let this mind be in what? You. That was also in what? Better translation says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Jesus Christ. So it means that Jesus possessed or Jesus had a particular kind of what? Attitude. And I can tell you without any out of doubt, the attitude of Jesus was a positive attitude. He's the best example when it comes to attitude. And we need to copy his example. I'm trusting God tonight, and as we go on in this series, that the Holy Spirit will conceive in you new attitudes. There will be the birthing of new attitudes so that our orientation to life, our orientation to challenges, our orientation even to the devil. Amen, somebody. You know, some people glorify Satan more than God. It's an attitude matter. Amen, somebody. Listen, we are not saying that Satan cannot do things, but we know that light is superior to darkness. Can I have anybody in the house? So look at your neighbor and tap and say, it's time to cultivate a positive attitude. You see, our attitude shows in everything that we do. And the issue of having the right kind of attitude is something that God wants for every one of his children. I have seen lives ruined because of a bad attitude. I have seen lives elevated and promoted because of the right kind of attitude. Ask your neighbor one more time, what kind of attitude do you have? Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the most important things that can happen to you. Listen, having a positive attitude towards life, having a positive attitude in every matter of life is something that you need to earnestly and assiduously walk towards. And I'm trusting God for you tonight, that the Holy Spirit will walk upon us to bring us to the place of transformation in our attitude, lifestyle, in the mighty name of Jesus. If you understood what I said, say a better amen. Amen. Now, I want to move a little bit ahead tonight. What are the truths that you need to know about your attitude? Listen, truths about your attitude will help you to understand what an attitude is all about. God does not want us to be in the dark. John 8:32 says, you will know the truths, and the truths that you know will what? Will set you free. So, what are the things that I need to know about my attitude? You see, if you understand these truths, it will help you to know what your attitude is all about and how our attitude functions. If you understand what I said now, say a big amen. And I'm going to take my time. I have almost about 20 things I want to share with us about our attitudes. Listen, look at your neighbor and say, you need to know your attitude very well. Listen, if you understand what I'm talking about tonight, it will change your life forever. Years ago, I read a book on attitude, and that was my journey into the development and the cultivation of a positive attitude. I am going to be seeing as we progress tonight. I trust the Holy Spirit to shed his light upon everything we are sharing tonight in the name of Jesus. So if you are ready, say amen. The first thing that I'm going to mention about our attitude is that your attitude determines your altitude. How many of you have heard this statement before? Your attitude determines your what? Altitude. Now, what is altitude? Altitude has to do with the height you want to attain unto. Hello, somebody? What are we saying? What determines how high you are going to fly? Amen, somebody? In life is what? Your attitude. You know, at times people have great desires. Oh, I want to be a great achiever. I want to fulfill, I want to do great and mighty things, but your attitude is wrong, or you have a negative attitude. There's no how you will become a high flyer in life if your attitude is negative. Amen? I said amen. Amen. Listen, what determines the height of a building is what? Is depth, the foundation. That's why you cannot just build anything. The foundation must be strong. Your attitude is like that foundation. Listen, you cannot become a high flyer in life if your attitude is wrong or bad. Listen, what determines how high you will fly in life is your attitude. I'm going to use an example in the Bible that we can relate to. Elisha and Elijah. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 and 11. When it became apparent that Elijah was going to go to heaven, Elijah asked Elisha, what do you want me to do for you? Now, Elisha desired what? A double portion fold of what? The anointing. Now, it's interesting to note that Elisha wanted to be greater than what? Elijah. Yes or no? Come on now, I say yes or no. Now, listen to this. you will see that he had to pass the attitude test. When Elisha said, God has taken me to Gilgal, he said, I'm going with you. God has taken me to Jericho, he said, I'm going. Now, those places that they went was not a straight course. Hello? It's not like a straight journey. It's like going up and going down and coming up and going down. Amen, somebody? Now, if Elisha did not have the right kind of attitude, he would have given up. So listen to me and listen well. Many of us know the story also of the 12 spies that went to spy the promised land. The Bible make mention that out of those 12 spies, only Caleb and what? Joshua. Only Caleb and Joshua became renowned or great. Why? It was because of the attitude. They had the right kind of attitude. The attitude was positive. Everybody was saying that, let's return back to Egypt. They said, let's go up at once. Let's go and take up this land. We're able to overcome this land. Amen, somebody? We're able to win. Amen, somebody? They were speaking faith. They were ready to conquer. And do you know that out of those 12 spies, only the name of Caleb, only the name of Joshua was renowned. All others were forgotten in the history books. I want to say this to you. If you want to make impact, if you want to be a great achiever, if you want to be a great hire in life, your attitude is very important. So look at your neighbor and tap it and say, your attitude will determine your altitude. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, most of the time, when God begins to test us, when God begins to prune us, we don't know that God is actually working or checking out our attitude. If our attitude is not right, there is no how you can get to the greatest places in life. The people who are high flyers in life, they got there because they had the right attitude. So look at your neighbor and tap it and say, it's time to pay attention to your attitude. Listen to this. I've seen people with a negative attitude or with a bad attitude. You see that they have been limited in life. Limited from rising. Limited from making progress. Just because of a stinking attitude. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, your attitude matters. Look at it, say, pay attention to your attitude. If you want to be a high flyer in life, your attitude has to be right. Your attitude must be a good one. And that's why we are talking about developing a positive attitude. And I pray for you tonight that the Holy Spirit of God will empower you in developing a right attitude towards life in the name of Jesus. Sometimes they say attitude determines altitude. Please, never forget that. Number two. Second thing you must understand about your attitude is that your attitude will determine your performance. Listen, one of the key determining factors of performance, whether in the workplace or in the business of God or the kingdom of God, is our attitude. Years ago, I discovered that an aeroplane also has an attitude. There is an equipment. If you enter the cockpit of an aeroplane, they call it an attitude indicator. What did I call it? I can't hear you. What did I call it? It's inside every plane. So every plane possesses what? An attitude. A pilot is very much interested in the attitude of its plane or a plane. Why? Because the attitude of that plane will determine how that plane will perform. Now watch this. When the plane wants to climb up, the plane must be in a particular kind of attitude. That attitude is called, if the plane is climbing, it must have what they call a nose high attitude. Say nose high. That's why you see that the position, the mouth of the plane is pointing what? Upwards. It's climbing. And you see, that affects its performance. Amen, somebody? Now, if the plane needs to dive, that means needs to go down, you will see that there's a position that the plane also must be. You see the mouth of the plane coming what? Downward. That's a nose down attitude. Listen, any serious pilot pays attention to that attitude indicator because it determines how the aircraft will perform. Now listen, in this regard, you are the aircraft now. Amen, somebody. I've seen people perform poorly because of the attitude in life. And I've seen people perform excellently well because of what? Having the right kind of attitude. So look at your neighbor and say, pay attention to your attitude. It determines your performance. I will give you some biblical examples. You are going to see what I mean in a moment. Now, Jesus went to his hometown. If there was any place you'll have expected him to have been received or well received, should be where? His hometown. Yes or no? But the Bible says he got a cold reception. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says he could there do no what? Mighty work. Some say he could there. The Bible did not say he would not, he could there do no mighty works. Except that he laid his hands upon what? A few sick folks and healed them. The Bible says he marveled there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Listen, their attitude was, we know him, the son of Joseph, the carpenter. Amen, somebody? You see that it affected his performance. Hello? Are you here, somebody? I've been to quite some places to preach, and I can tell you that the attitude of the congregation differs from place to place. Amen, somebody? Amen. I've seen some places, the attitude is, expectant. Amen, somebody? Amen. They are hungry. Amen, somebody? Amen. In fact, before you even see anything, they are ready to consume you. Amen, somebody? Hello, somebody? I remember years ago, I was at CAC Agbala Itura, their youth and singles convention. It was at all night. Amen, somebody. And then at the point, I had to be cautioning myself. Amen, somebody. Because I was feeling, what's happening here? Amen. But later God said, these people's attitude is what? Excellent. They are hungry. Amen, somebody. Say hungry, somebody. Come and see elderly people, young people, the way they were going after the word. Amen, somebody. The same word I was preaching also elsewhere. Amen, somebody. Are you in the house, somebody? I was almost saying, what's happening? What's happening here? If you see the hunger, amen, somebody. One prophetic work like this, you see other people will be saying, hey, amen. I have to say, what's happening? What's happening? At a point, the protocol guys had to come and surround me. Amen, somebody. Because the way they were gunning for my leg, they were gunning for all parts of my body. So they have to come and be protecting me. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. And I've been some other places. Amen, somebody. It's like stone face looking people. Amen, somebody. Stern looking. Amen, somebody. Say stern looking, somebody. It's about attitude. Listen, the attitude can influence the anointing. The attitude can what? Influence the anointing. Do you know that before Elijah had Gehazi as his servant, he had a servant before? Oh, many of you don't know. Amen, somebody. Gehazi was not the first servant. Elijah had a first servant before what? Gehazi. Yeah, it's in the Bible. You know, the funny thing was that the Bible did not even tell us his name. That must tell you something about his attitude. Amen, somebody. Listen, it was this same servant that Elijah said, go and check. Go and see what is coming up from the sky. Go and read the story, 1 Kings 18. Let me be very sure about the exact verse. 1 Kings 18, verse 43 to 44. He said, go and check the sky. He said, I didn't see anything. Seven times. He said, go again. Amen, somebody. It was on the eighth time. He said, where? I see something. The small hand of a man. Now, who told him to qualify the hand?
It's attitude. Say attitude, somebody.
The man did not say, what's the size of what you saw? He said, what did you see? But attitude is, because you can't bear, there's nothing, just one tiny hand. Elijah said, that's all I need to know. I didn't ask you to qualify the hand. I asked you, what did you what? See. Look at your neighbor and say, attitude. Attitude will determine the way you perform. Listen, I have seen people given a tax, an assignment. If you have the right kind of attitude, you will go about it assiduously. As if to say your life depends. And I've seen people given a tax, you have to be monitoring and monitoring and monitoring. It's attitude. Say attitude to somebody. Ask your neighbor, say, what kind of attitude do you have? Listen, it affects performance. If you are poorly performing at times, it's because of your attitude. Do you also know that Elisha had what? A servant that was known as what? Gehazi. Yes or no? Come on now. I say, yes or no, somebody? Yes, he had a servant that was known as Gehazi. Now, listen. Before Elisha took the place of the first servant that Elijah had, when it came to the time of Elisha also, he also had a servant called what? Gehazi. When the son of the Shunammite woman died, the great woman of Shunem, 2 Kings 4, Elisha said, take my mantle, say mantle. He said, if anybody meets you on the road, don't talk to them. Don't greet anybody. Just carry the mantle, go straight to the house where the boy is and lay the mantle on what? The boy. He went there. Nothing happened. You know why? His attitude. Somebody say attitude. Listen, for you to know that his attitude, he had a covetous spirit. You know what happened when the man came in the next chapter. Amen, somebody? His eyes will not, what? His eyes will not go away from the gold and the silver. That's why he lost the anointing. Amen, somebody? That's why he lost the prophetic office. Listen, your attitude will affect your work. That's what I'm trying to say. Your attitude will affect your performance. If somebody is unstable emotionally, unstable in his mind, it will affect the work he or she is doing. So look at your number and say, pay attention to your attitude. That's why it's very important. These are things you must understand. That is why our attitudes are very important. You know, somebody was saying this. He said, attitudes are little things that makes a lot of difference in what we do. And that is true. Listen, as little as it may look, you cannot overlook it. Most of the time, that is what people are looking at. And that's what God is looking at. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, your attitude will determine your performance. So at times, the reason people are poorly performing is because of what? Bad attitude or what? Wrong attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, check your attitude. Say, check your attitude concerning your performance. Number three, this one is very important. The fact that you are a believer does not automatically mean your attitude is good. This may shock you, but that's the truth. The fact that you are a born-again child of God does not mean you have a good attitude. I have seen believers with a bad attitude. Hello, somebody in the house. I say, hello, somebody in the house. Listen, and listen good. Many of you, we know the story of the prodigal. Luke 15. The man had how many sons? Two sons. The elder and what? The junior. The junior asked for what? His inheritance and ran away with it. Amen? Wasted it. Came back broke, busted, and what? Disgusted. Empty. Nothing to show for it. He lived a profligate lifestyle. He was a waster. Amen, somebody? Great fortune was wasted because of his riotous lifestyle. Now, many of us will look at the elder brother, say, fine brother. Say, fine brother, somebody. Say, very committed. Very dedicated. Yes. But let me say this to you. He also had a bad attitude. How do you know? When he came from the farm and ask everybody, what is happening? Say, your junior brother is back. Daddy is throwing a big party. He now, we say this. He started forming what? An attitude. Come inside. No, I won't come inside. I've been in this house. I've been this, I've been that. But listen, his attitude was wrong. Hello, somebody? Are you not supposed to be happy that your brother that was lost is now found? Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, attitude. Tap your neighbor and say, the fact that you're a born again child of God does not mean you have a good attitude. That's why, if you remember, the title of this message is what? Developing. Say developing. Listen, attitude is not a gift. Attitude is a mindset you must cultivate. Attitude is not a gift. That's why the fact that you are born again, as I've seen Christians, believers, with a very bad attitude. They say, you do me, I do you. God do first. And I'm asking, where is that in the Bible? Believers with a revengeful what? Attitude. Say, my besan. Moni lati besan. Listen. Believer, I'm not talking about somebody that don't know the God. Somebody who knows God. Say, I must take my own pound of flesh. Back! If you know what they did to me, what did they do to you? It's not as worse as what we did to Jesus. Yes or no? Come on, talk to me. I say yes or no? That's why I say the fact that somebody is speaking in tongues does not mean that he or she possesses. I remember years ago I was somewhere to go and settle a matter between a couple. And I was trying to ask the guy, what happened? How come you beat your wife black and blue like this? He said, Pastor, you know the Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child and the rod of correction. I said, is your wife now the child? I mean, the fact that he was speaking in tongues does not mean that he was matured. Hello? I think that was the time I was talking with my sister-in-law, elder sister to my wife, and she mentioned an issue. If I mentioned it, I'm not going to mention the name of the man of God in this city, one of the fathers of the faith, that he said, because she's close to the family, she said she was there one day and the man was joking. He was joking. He said, was joking about the wife. He said, now, apologies for speaking vernacular. What does that mean? The woman slapped the man of God. Are you the house? Are you still here? Some people are not here. I said, are you still here? Slap the man of God. The man of God did not retaliate. But I know some men of God. Fire for fire. Amen, somebody. Say fire for fire, somebody. Look at your neighbor. Say the fact that you're a believer does not mean you have a good attitude. Say that's why you must develop it. Attitude is not a gift. It's a mindset. Let this mind be in you. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in who? We have a work to do. In fact, a huge task lies ahead. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, it's time to work on your attitude. Say, it's time to develop a positive attitude. I mean, look at Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10, he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. How can you rejoice in the midst of sorrow? That's a man with the right kind of attitude. In fact, he said in the place, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 4, he says, I am exceedingly joyful in all of my tribulation. Do you know what Apostle Paul went through? Shipwrecked many times. Amen, somebody. At times, left for dead. He was beaten for the cause of in fact, there was a time they thought he was dead. Hello, somebody. And when believers surrounded him, he came back to life again. He resurrected back again. He said, I am joyful in the midst of all those tribulations. I'm joyful. Because I know that these sufferings, they are working for what? The Bible says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. That's why Jesus hung on the cross. The Bible says he despised the shame because his eyes was what? On the reward. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, it's time to develop a right attitude. Number four. Your attitude will determine how far you will go in life. I want to ask you a question. How far do you want to go in life? I know people say, I want to go far. I want to go far. But one of the things that will determine how far you will go in life, whether in ministry, in business, in your home, in your relationship, is your attitude. If you're the kind of person that gets so angry easily, you can't go far. You need to work on your attitude. Amen? I remember someone, I tried to speak to her, I tried to mentor her. He said, I don't have any problem. I said, this thing is evident that you have a problem. He said, no. I started, maybe I'm blind. Maybe I didn't see. When she gets angry, her hand will be shaking like this. I'm not talking about little anger. Anger that her body will be vibrating. I said, this is sitting on the gunpowder. I said, no, there's nothing wrong with me. I have been in a presence twice that she manifested the anger. I myself could not even control her. When she gets angry, she can talk to anybody. Say anybody, somebody. No man will marry that kind of woman. Years passed. She came and said, you know what you told me that time is true. I said, I was telling you now. You said my mouth was smelling. Look at your neighbor and say, begin to walk now. Listen. If you cannot keep a job, you have been in about 4 places within 4 or 5 years because of your attitude. You see, at times it's not that people are not talented. It's not that people are not even anointed or gifted. The attitude is wrong. You see, that's why people don't go far. Attitude. Attitude. Say attitude, somebody. That's why we need to pay attention to our attitude. What did God say about Caleb? Worthy of mention. Numbers 14:24. He said, my servant. Look at how he called Caleb. My servant, Caleb. Because he had another spirit. Now, listen. That another spirit is not another Holy Spirit. No, that's not what he's saying. That word, another spirit, he had another attitude. His attitude was different from the other 10 guys. The only people who had the right attitude was Caleb and Joshua. They had an attitude of faith. Let's go up and take up the land. Amen. Let's go up and possess. Their attitude was positive. Attitude of confidence. God can do it. God will do it. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, how's your attitude? Ladies and gentlemen, attitude is what determines how far people go. I told you earlier on that Elijah had a servant before Elisha. For you to know, in the heat, say, when the heat came, in 1 Kings 19, after Elijah had, done a powerful miracle on Mount Carmel, then Jezebel sent a message. 1 Kings 19. He said, go and tell that Elijah. If by tomorrow your head is still standing on your neck, then I'm not Jezebel. The Bible said when Elijah, say Elijah somebody. That's to tell you that he's still a man. Amen, somebody. When he had the threat of Jezebel, Kojuman Ribi, he ran away. Amen, somebody. What is very pathetic was verse 3. The Bible says, and he left his servant there. I thought the servant should follow the master. He said, master, we thank God, though. Thank God for your life. Go your way, go my way. That's a foolish servant. That's why he lost the opportunity of inheriting the mantle. He left him there. You know, Elisha was different. He followed Elijah everywhere he went. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say your attitude will determine how far you will go. You know, Jesus had many disciples. At a point when Jesus started sharing deep things with them. In John 6, verse 66, the Bible said at that point, many of his servants, disciples said, please, I don't think I can follow this man again. Jesus now asked them, verse 67, will you also go away? Peter was the spokesman. Say spokesman, somebody. Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of what? His attitude was right. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you want to go far. Let your attitude be right. You see, that's why we need a positive attitude. What I'm talking about now applies. If you want to go far in business, go far in ministry, go far in your home, whatever you do, you need a positive attitude to go far. Otherwise, your ministry, your calling, your vocation may be terminated or truncated. But that will not be your testimony in Jesus' name. So tap your number, say, pay attention to your attitude. The reason people don't go far at times is because they have a bad attitude. I know someone who will not take, you know, correction in good faith. Amen, somebody. Say good faith. He will get angry. Amen, somebody. And you see, that was why he was limited. You must understand that God loves you so dearly and so well. If he has put mentors, if he has put coaches, or he has put people who are over you in the Lord, it is to guide you in the way of truth so that you can fulfill your destiny. Can I have an amen to that effect? How many have I given you now? Number 5. We're looking at truths you must understand about your attitude. Number 5. Your attitude is never static or stagnant. Listen. Your attitude can go up or go down. In fact, listen, your attitude can be positive today. Next week, it may be negative if prayer is not taken. Attitudes are what? Never static. Let me give you a classic example. Matthew 16. Jesus asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, are? Ah, Peter said, you are Jesus, the Son of God. Ah, I know. Jesus started praising in flesh and blood, as not speaking to you, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Peter was on cloud 9. A mini. Revelator. Amen, somebody. The one that has the revelation. I'm the one. He was feeling, like you say, feeling snazzy. Amen, somebody. Was on top of the world. Excellent attitude. Listen. Jesus now, the same chapter, not another chapter, just a few lines down the road. 1 John 22. Jesus said, you know, the Son of Man shall be taken and killed. Third day shall rise. Eh? Peter said, no, far away. Far it be from you. You shall not die. For where? I will allow you. Jesus said what? What did he call Peter? No. What did he call him? Get thee behind me what? Can see that in verse 23. Get thee behind me, Satan. Now you're wondering, this is somebody with a very powerful attitude. Hey, next moment, negative attitude. So tap your neighbor, say, your attitude is never static or stagnant. So that is why we must continuously work on our attitude. Listen, I rejoice with you today if your attitude is excellent. But that does not mean you go to sleep. Hello? Don't rest on your oars. Don't say, well, my attitude is splendid, it's beautiful, it's good, you must watch it. The Bible says, he that thinketh is stand. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Should do what? I can't hear. Should do what? Lest he what? Look at your neighbor and say, always work on your attitude. You know, attitude fluctuates. That's why you can see somebody, a great man like David, says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Psalm 42 verse 5 and verse 11. Why are you disquieted within me? That's a great man. His attitude was low at that point. But thank God, he knew how to what? Encourage himself. The same David in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, the Bible said David encouraged himself what? In the Lord his God. So look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, pay attention to your attitude. Because what? It's never static. It's never static. Then number 6, our attitude is always under construction. What do I mean? You will never get to a point whereby you will stop working on your attitude. Let me say that again. You will never get to a point whereby you don't need to work on your attitude. The fact that your attitude is beautiful, is excellent, is positive, is good today, does not guarantee that that's how it's going to be in the next 5-10 years. The only person that has a perfect, flawless attitude is Jesus. But as long as you're a human being, amen somebody, your attitude is always under construction. What does that mean? There is always something to do. Listen, as long as you live, we are forming, we are changing, and we are reinforcing our attitude. I say it again. As long as we live, we are what? Forming, changing, and what? Reinforcing what? Our attitudes. The business of life suggests that as you and I live, our attitudes are changing. Our attitudes, we are forming new attitudes or bad attitudes, as the case may be. And listen, whatever attitude you have had before now is being reinforced. It depends on what you do or what you are doing with it. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. That's why the Bible talks about the renewing. Romans 12:2. Renewing. It didn't say renewed. It didn't say renew. It said renewing. Say renewing, somebody. Ephesians 4 verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen. One translation of Ephesians 4:23, I think, I'm trying to look for, because that's the Living Bible version. It says, now your attitude and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Your attitude and what? Thoughts must all be what? Constantly changing. I'm saying constantly changing for the better. The Amplified version of Ephesians 4:23 says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Your attitude should always be under construction. Amen, somebody. I always tell people this is the same principle. The same way you ate yesterday, you will eat today. You will not say, because I ate yesterday, that's enough for the week. The same way. You see, that's why people don't know. Hearing the word, meditating the word of God, praying day in, day out, it has what it does. It's not a waste of time. Hello? You are renewing your mind. Listen, the world is a toxic place. Listen, I really fear for the next generation, especially the young people. The kind of profanity that is on the screen today, amen. The airwaves, amen. Or online is outrageous. It's outrageous. I mean, these were things that were not like this when we were growing up. The kind of negative information, things that can ruin somebody's life. I don't know what people are celebrating, the Big Brother. I don't know what they're celebrating. Listen. And go and mark what I'm going to say. Go and mark it down. If we don't watch it, you'll be surprised at the kind of generation we're going to raise. I don't know when it became a cool thing for you to be celebrating nudity. Amen, somebody. And things that are basically obscene and out of place. You see, it shows the watering down of values, and it shows that we're gradually losing it. Listen, protect your mind, though. Don't let anybody tell you that what you see does not affect you. It's a lie. Your mind is like a what? A computer. Amen, somebody. What you impute, it will come out one day. That's the way your mind works. You know, at times, the funny thing about life is that when you think, because this is what people say, civilization is part of civilization. I said, if you know what you are saying, you will already think, amen, somebody. That's not civilization. That's pure madness. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. Pure madness. What are we talking about? Where's our values? Amen, somebody. Where's our values? Listen. You see, that's why if you observe some of the things that didn't used to happen before, they're happening now. What you expose yourself to, what you watch, what you hear, listen, has an impact on you. It's a spiritual principle. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. The same Jesus said, take heed how. So, listen, content matters. That's why you are supposed to choose what you hear. And listen, choose how you hear. Very important. Amen. I say very important. If you're still here, say amen. Let's be renewed. Renewed. In the world of aeroplanes, I'm going to use that a lot. There's no aeroplane that does not need constant adjustment. Listen, there's a terminology called trimming. Trimming means to balance an aeroplane in flight. Listen, it doesn't matter how supersonic or excellent that jet or plane is, they will have to do that. Amen, somebody. Amen. That's to tell you that it doesn't matter how excellent your attitude is today, you still have to watch it and guide your attitude. Your attitude is always under control. I have not gotten to a place whereby I don't need to work on my attitude. You need to work on it every day. You are either deleting or what? Or adding things. In fact, that process of impute, you are removing or ejecting some things and you are replacing it. It's a constant process. Amen? I said amen. There's some junk stuff that has made its way into your mind. You need to delete it. You need to eject it. And the way you can do that is by renewing your mind in the Word of God. Amen, somebody? You see, that's why I tell people, renewing your mind in the Word of God is not positive thinking. Amen, somebody? It's not just taking one word and be saying, I am a man. I'm a man. Well, I can do it. I can. No. I'm not talking about a word that somebody concocted. Hello, somebody. There are a lot of, people who are very powerful. Positive thinking. It's a concept. In fact, people are not born again. Many of them are in that line. Listen, that's not what I'm talking about. Amen, somebody. Say, I'm my own man. I can get it done. No. I'm talking about this book, the Word of Life. I can tell you there's a difference. The Word of God is power. If you will allow it to enter into your thoughts, your mind, your inner, it will change your life. It will do for you what positive thinking cannot do. Amen, somebody? Hello? Are you still here tonight? If you're here, say amen. How many have I given you now? 6. Number 7. Your attitude shows in everything you do. This one is very important. Your attitude is like smoke. You can't hide it. You can't conceal it. Your attitude shows in how you talk. Your attitude shows in how you sing. Amen? Not so quiet. Yeah. Your attitude shows in the way you play your equipment. I remember years ago, I had some guest minister came. He said, who's that guy on that keyboard? Who's that guy? I said, why? I said, I like his attitude. Look at the way he's playing the keyboard. Look at the way he's playing the guitar. Some people are playing the same guitar. We don't know they are playing the guitar. The attitude is not there. Amen. Somebody. Say attitude, somebody. God bless our robots of blessed memory, one of the fathers of faith. It was somewhere to preach, and after I finished preaching, somebody sent a check of $1 million. The man was not even born again. He said, I saw the way you were preaching to that. I said, is it not the Bible? He said, I was so blessed, and I felt that I needed to encourage what you are doing. Amen, somebody. What's a way to encourage him? Amen, somebody. He said, it's the same Bible. Look at everybody, his attitude. Your attitude shows in the way you do your work. I'm going to say, amen, somebody. Oh, Nibira, amen, somebody. It's attitude, amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. You see, we cannot hide our attitude. It shows in everything we do. The way you usher, amen, somebody. The way you protocol, amen, somebody. Say everything, somebody. How you dress, how you drive. Say drive. Something happened today when we went to pick Kelly's school. And there was a lot of queue, waiting. And somebody just be worse somebody. It was not on the queue. And when I tried to check, the person was wearing a collar. Anybody? Say, man of God, somebody. Oh, my God. Glory be to God. I had a very funny story years ago of a man of God said, once he gets to Lagos, he removes his cassock. I said, why? He said, I said, so that when he begins to do big war, nobody said, man of God. I remember a story. Mama Duju Mashiach was some time ago. She was in Akure. She was in a hurry and she drove one way. I don't know. Somebody wanted to chance Mama. Say chance somebody. You know what we call chance? Somebody else, just come on. So just say, I won't allow you. So Mama too was not trying to say, vum, 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 vum. You do me, I do you. So he said, the person now lower down. This guy say, and I say, the woman. Now, Mama used to do a program on TV called The Woman. He said, once she had that woman, he knew that minute. He said, God, that you know. I was not the one, he was the one who. Glory be to God. The way we respond to challenges, I can say without any atom of doubt, Nigeria is one of the most dangerous places to drive. I have to say that sincerely. I know people who have lived in this country, when they come back, they are afraid to drive. They say, I can't drive. I say, well, I said, but you, I don't want any. Have you? I said, no, Pastor, I can't drive. He said, I'm even afraid. He said, the way they are driving now. I said, how you guys survive? I said, the Lord is helping us. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, your attitude shows in everything. Everything. When Ahab was refused the vineyard of Naboth, look at a great man. Collegium. A great man. Say great man. He got home. He was very moody. Jezebel said, wait till now. Said, Naboth. Say, what did he say? Naboth. Made it to look like this. He said, I asked him, give me your vineyard. He said, hero, it's my father's inheritance. I can't give it to you. He said, I will give you. I don't want money. This is my father. I can't sell my father's inheritance.
He said, that's why you have lost your appetite. He said, oh, that's why. He said, that Nabat. Listen, that will tell you the kind of attitude that he have had. The fact that somebody refused your request and look at you. A great man. Say a great man. A king. Could not eat. Could refuse to sleep until the evil genius, Jezebel, said, don't worry, I will sort it out. But let's think about it. How can that not make you to sleep and to eat? I remember some of our friends in the early days of our Christianity who said that somebody went to propose to a sister and the sister said no. And in those days, you know, people used to joke. There are different kind of refuser. You see, when you go and propose to your sister and she says no, people call it unfuelesho, you know, that kind of thing. It's giving you, I don't know how to translate that in English. I don't know how to explain that, but I hope you understand. At times people vary the level of the nails you receive. They can say, is it 6 inches or 9 inches or 12 inches? I mean, went somewhere and the sister said no. When he came back, he was all moody. Kill us here. Are you going to kill yourself because he said no? Are you going to kill yourself? Oh my God. Praise God. Tap it over and say, your attitude shows. It's something we can't hide. Even when the challenges of life comes, how do you respond? When you don't have money in your pocket, how do you respond? At times, everybody will know. Amen, somebody. Because there's a way you normally act. Amen, somebody. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, God warned him. I see this arrogant attitude in you. God gave him an opportunity to change. He didn't pay attention because he had a dream. It was to warn him. And you know something? That arrogance was manifesting small, small. Say small, small. Someone said, how do you know it? Look at Daniel 3. He set up an image of himself. Why do you have to set up an image of yourself? So that people can worship that image. That's pride. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, for where? This, apart from being idol, you know, apart from, you know, idol worship. I mean, this like self-worshipping a man. No. How will somebody set up his own image so that others will be bound to it? That's pride. He had been manifesting small. Say small, somebody. He didn't pay attention to it. Until he went to the University of Animas to bag first and second degree. Because when you spend 7 years, you have collected first degree and second degree. He came up with masters. Masters in divine humility. Amen. He became humble. Nobody did the 10th energy. He was very humble. He said, my imagination returned to me. He said, I now know that the Most High rules in the earth. You don't have to go to the University of Animas before you learn humility. You can learn it the normal way. Amen? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Tell him, say, your attitude shows in everything, though. Number 8, your attitude is subject to change for the better if you are willing to play your part. Our attitudes can change for the better if we are willing to submit to the Holy Spirit and play our part. Amos 3 verse 3 says, can two people walk together except they agree? You know, one of the interesting stories of attitude change that I see in the Bible is about a king known as King Manasseh. Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah. You can read the story in 2 Chronicles 33. This man was one of the most wicked kings of Judah. He was so wicked, I mean, that he was sacrificing his sons, burning them. Amen. Burning them to all the, you know, funny gods. The Bible says he made such a remarkable change in his attitude that, in fact, the Bible says they took him to Babylon. In that place, he became sober, became humble. God brought him back to Israel to still rule, and he removed all the foreign gods, all the... I mean, it was a complete turnaround. Why? Because he played his part. God will not force an attitude change on anybody. You must see the need. Like that young lady I was telling you about when I was, can we call her? Because they said, Pastor, there's nothing wrong with me. I said, but, I said, there's nothing wrong. Now, when somebody says there's nothing wrong, what are you going to say again? I said, okay, that's true. There's nothing wrong with you. But of course, you know, the years went by. She came to her senses. She came, I'm sorry. I said, you know, I was telling you the other time. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, your attitude can change for the better. If you play your part. Number 9. Probably we'll close on this. We'll pick it up next time. Your attitude determines how you respond or approach life. I want to ask you a question today. How do you see life? Some people say, life is not fair. Life is not treating me well. Does life treat anybody well? No. The way you approach life is an indication of your attitude. Do you think that, some people have it all made up, all easy? No. Life does not give you what you desire. Life gives you what you demand. The truth of the matter is that life is a battle. You see, because of our attitude, some people have what I call a laid-back attitude to life. You think everything is going to fall on what? An easy bed of what? Roses for you. You have a laid-back. Why are you going to do it? How we do it? Listen. That's not the kind of attitude that will make you to fulfill your destiny. You must take charge. Say, take charge. So about what I call a passive attitude. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Eh? No. You must possess. If you're going to possess your inheritance, you must be proactive. Say, proactive. God will not help you to make that call. God will not help you to respond to that mail. These are things you have to do. You see, our attitude is what determines how we respond to life. You see, when somebody is making that flip and say, life has not been fair to me, that's a lazy attitude. Life is not fair to anybody. Amen, somebody? That's the reality. Amen, somebody? Life is a battle. There are people, everybody will face challenges. Everybody will fight with his own Goliath. So what you're saying that, life is not fair. That's a lazy man's approach to life. Life in favor, I won't count you, I won't go. Listen, that's a lazy man's approach to life. You cannot become anything. You will not fulfill your destiny if you have that kind of mindset. The people are waiting for things to happen. Listen, you must know how to what? Make things what? In the words of late Bolaigi, some people have a Sidon look. Say Sidon look. Sidon look kind of approach. Listen, if you Sidon look, say Sidon look. So many things will just come and pass you there and pass you by. They say in my language, if you stay too long in a place, what will happen? All kinds of flies will begin to gather around you. So look at your neighbor and ask, are you passive or active? Some people say, if it's going to happen, it's up to God. No, it's not up to God. It's up to God and you. Hello? It's up to God and who? You have a part to play. Don't transfer the burden to God. And say, I'm waiting on God. When God is actually waiting on you. Look at your neighbor and ask, what kind of approach do you have towards life? Listen, you see, the way we approach life is an indication of our attitude. The way you approach life. How do you approach life? Do you take responsibility? Do you take initiatives? Are you proactive? One of the things I was trying to teach one of my kids, when I asked them to do something, I said, did you follow up? I said, no, you don't talk to. There's no talking here. I said, no talking. There's no one like that. Don't go and say that. I said, there's no talking, no. I said, you follow up. I said, how? I said, you called the person. I said, I didn't know. But I called it before. I said, you call it again. Ah. You call it again. Say again, somebody. You need to, I mean, the Bible said right from the days of John the Baptist on the kingdom of God so fast. So I said, mo ti pe, mo pe le kan, mo pe le meji, ko pe kolu e. O ma pe na ni, amen somebody. Amen, so say, wa ma pe ni. You call it. You call it. Amen somebody. Some people give up so soon, so easily. You call it. Call yesterday, call today. You keep calling. Amen, somebody. Look at him and say, no retreat, no surrender. Let me introduce the 10th one, number 10. Because we have 20. So I've just covered 10. Amen. Say 10. 10 out of 20 today. Amen, somebody. It's not bad. Isn't it? Amen. Your attitude determines how you treat others. Your attitude does what? How you treating others. Listen, nobody's a piece of trash. Never, ever in your life think that nobody's relevant. No matter where you get to, even if you are the most, you are the greatest of all, don't ever look down on anybody. Don't what? Ever. Say ever, somebody. Ever. The child that you nurture today will nourish you tomorrow. I'm amazed. Some of the young people, say young, people that don't know their left or right spiritually, that God allowed them to pass through someone's path. And one had the right attitude, and one was, treated them well. Say treat them well, somebody. If you treat people badly, you will reap it too. Amen, somebody. Some of those people, I meet them in several places of the world, and I'm amazed at what they do. And I'm wondering, I didn't give this person money. I didn't give this person. I said, no, sir. No, sir. You see, it's because of treating them well. Amen, somebody? You see, your attitude determines how you treat others. When you see somebody treating others as if to say others don't matter, that they're the only one that matters, you know that person has a bad attitude. The world was not made for you alone. That's the reality. When you say, no, what do? Don't ever make that kind of mistake. Oh. What you are calling a little child today, that's a great man, a great woman in the making. That's why the Bible said, don't despise the day of little beginnings. Don't despise it. Don't. Don't look down anybody. Treat people well. If you treat people well, it's an indication of the fact that you have a good attitude. When you treat people anyhow, when you treat people like they are trash. I know someone who was not properly treated. He was in a particular organization. In fact, when they left, people were ridiculing, people were making jest of him. He went somewhere and under a different management. The same person that people thought was a nobody is a somebody today. It's about attitude. Say attitude, somebody. Let's treat people well. Let's treat people well. Because if you treat people well, listen, if you do good, if you sow good, you will reap it. I have a principle. Someone say, what if the person is doing you evil? Leave that one to God. I don't bother about, for me, it's not an issue. You know why? Evil will bow before the good. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 14:19. Evil will what? Bow before the good and the wicked at the gate of the righteous. You don't need to make it happen. God will make it happen.
Listen, if you are doing good and people are doing you bad, don't let it bother you. Keep doing good. Tell them, keep doing good. The force of good will triumph over the force of evil. It's what I've seen over and over. That's why I have seen people, I have seen God do something. And listen, God knows how to humble people. Say, humble somebody. At times, I wonder. But listen, it is because the scriptures cannot be broken. Don't change your attitude. Amen, somebody. Tap it and say, don't stop doing good. I say, Pastor, I want to take me for granted. I will let the tiger and the lion in me now manifest. Look at your neighbor and say, keep the tiger. Keep the lion. Say, let the lamb keep manifesting. Rise up on your feet. Let's give God praise tonight. Amen. We'll continue next week, Tuesday. Lift up your two hands. Say, after me, say, Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to cultivate and to develop new attitudes in every area of my life. Lift up your hands to heaven and begin to pray in the name of Jesus.